B-Pod Studios.
As for Mom, she'll be thrilled with the radio that never forgets. Besides turning on appliances automatically, it can be set to remind Mom when her favorite program is on the air. And now, another chapter in the lives of
Stan and Haney, 96 J-Rock.
Hola, everybody.
Stan and Haney, in the afternoon. Glad to have you along. It's Tuesday. Swap Shop Tuesday. We'll get that underway at 3.
That really, I look forward to Tuesdays. I love
it's
Swap
fun.
Shop, and it is sweeping Southwest Florida. I'm in a great mood. So
yes, you are.
I've decided that I'm going to start the show on a positive note.
Yes.
And would just like to compliment you, my friend, on your mustache. It is coming in full and fierce.
Yeah.
You're
looking
great.
Yeah. It's probably,
you've never looked better.
Yeah, it's probably coming off.
I'll say it ain't so. It looks great. Why would you?
And I looked at it this morning, leaving. I said, it's finally filled in.
I can tell you're taking a little pride in it. Because you haven't just grown a mustache.
Right.
You're styling it.
Yes.
I can tell it's been well cared for.
Well groomed.
Shaped.
This is not just a matter of someone who hasn't shaved.
Right.
It is, you can tell it's maintained every day. Yeah. Not a stray hair to be found.
Thank you, Haney.
So why
Thank
would you,
Tom.
Why would you take it off
why
now?
Why would you even consider that?
How long you known me?
1987.
So how many years is that, Tom?
That's true, isn't it?
Yeah.
It was 87.
Well, 21 years.
You've known me for over 20 years.
Our relationship is old enough to drink.
Yep. And of those 21 years, probably...
a good five of them, we've been close friends.
Yeah. But 13 of them, you knew me with a mustache. For the last...
Well, that and the mullet were your trademarks.
Yep. For the last 8 years, the mustache has been off. And one of the main reasons that the mustache came off and has been off for 8 years is because it makes me look shifty.
I thought you said that you shaved the mustache because it was slimming.
No. No.
Yeah, it makes your head look taller.
No.
I thought this was a great sign because... No. You have been very determined to drop some weight.
15 pounds so far.
And you're doing a great job with it, so you can sport the mustache with confidence.
I've been told this by more than one person. Haney in particular has been one that's told me that, but I've lived it.
Lived what? Told you what?
Being kicked out of places because I look like I'm up to no good. I've been kicked out of hotels, restaurants.
Just because looked like you were up to no good.
Traveling with you is an unmitigated nightmare.
I've had dogs put on me. I've gone through bomb detectors. On Sanibel Island, been kicked out. Miami Beach, been kicked out. Not because I'm doing anything wrong.
He gets called sir a lot, and not in a good way.
Right!
Sir?
Sir, I'm going to ask you to leave now, sir. What?
Well, you're not allowed back on Sanibel, are you?
Not really. I'm not welcome.
And I will vouch for Stan. 9 times out of 10, he's not doing anything wrong.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
People just sense it.
And I grow the mustache back, and people are sensing it again. And I must be more shiftier than ever.
Now, you've explained your theory on facial hair. And you said a mustache is fine. It's a beard that you got to watch out for because that's somebody that's trying to hide something. The rules do not apply to a mustache.
No. Very young in the psychology field. A beard, man that grows a beard is trying to hide for something from something. A guy that grows a mustache is trying to change from something.
Which would make sense. You're dropping weight. Yeah, it's another, yet another new stand.
But evidently, this mustache does not do me any good as far as the appearance of trustworthiness.
Has there been an incident that I'm unaware of?
There was an incident today.
Oh,
just as the mustache has grown in real good.
Oh, it looks great.
Yeah.
Really does.
Once again.
I think this is the best mustache you've ever had.
I was met by an old friend. Mr. Skeptic. Mr. He's up to no good. Mr. Get him the hell away from me. He's going to rob me. I had to. This is unbelievable. And what I'm about to say does not involve any of our sponsors. So I don't want anybody in the sales department getting all worked up. This does not involve, and as I describe it, if you're thinking of names of these places, you're not thinking correctly. It's none of the top of the mind places. I had to go into a jewelry store today. And at least for me, going into a high-end jewelry store makes me a little uneasy.
I thought you had decided not to do that. I don't know if Tom knows this. You know, in addition to the mustache, because he's getting slim,
right?
He was going to put a belly button ring on layaway as sort of an incentive, you know, like a carrot.
Right, so he can wear the belly shirts again.
Mm-hmm.
I had.
Is that what you were in the jewelry store?
No, I had to pick something up.
You were getting a Prince Albert, were you?
No.
Please.
Tommy. But this was a very...
There's no law against a mustachioed man going into a jewelry store the last time I checked.
I would think not. This was a very high-end jewelry store.
I mean, they wouldn't have problems with Victor from Days of Our Lives walking in there, would they?
No.
I don't know who that is.
Or Patch.
No, Patch looks because, you know, the eye patch.
Very high end. I got a call that what I had ordered was there. I had to go and pick it up.
So you're doing business with a high end,
probably one of the highest end ones around. But again, I'm going to preface this: it is nobody that we that advertises with us. And if you go off the top of your head with the big name brand jewelry stores, you're wrong. I'm going to tell you that you're wrong.
Basically, whatever you think you know, you don't.
Correct. But this was high-end. And it makes me uneasy just to go in there to begin with, because you got all the diamonds and gold.
Well, you're in the deep end. Then.
And you're in the deep end. You know, that upper crust in the corner, they've got the little dainty coffee cups with the espressos, so you can go.
And probably one of those places where there's no decimal to the price. Just things like 25 and...
Right.
You don't know if it's 2,500 or 25,000.
Correct. It's just the number, 25 or, you know, 78 or 150. You don't know. You think, you know, if I'm going to the JCPenney's,
oh, 150,
that's $150.
Yeah, well, it'd be $149.99.
Yeah. I am going in there. Un-effing believable.
And you're there on legitimate business.
Yes. Yes, legitimate business.
So you said you were there to pick something up.
Yes.
So you are a valued customer.
Not at that point in time, I hadn't paid for it. First time I ever been in this store. I put the order in for this with an assistant that works at the store. Got the call before coming into work today, so before I left the house.
You're wearing your work uniform.
Right. I told them I'll swing by on my way into work, and I'll pick it up. Thank you for calling.
Consists of shorts and a t-shirt.
Yeah. Very polite lady. Very,
shorts,
very polite.
T-shirt and a mustache you can't miss.
Right. So I'm walking into the jewelry store. And this jewelry store's got the real heavy doors that kind of open funny.
Well, that's the way that it should be. It's that lets you know you're at a secure location.
Yes. A lot of crystal showcases.
And I'm hearing you, you know, talk about your experience here. And so far, it sounds, you know, very pleasant. Mm-hmm. You've done nothing wrong.
Mm-hmm. Nothing wrong!
What could possibly go wrong?
Remember, my name's Stan. I open the door to the jewelry store.
Okay, so far, so good.
And I do not take more than one full step into the jewelry store. Door opens, I walk in, where I am promptly greeted by the store manager.
Door's still open? Yeah, I mean,
doors
you got like 1 foot?
Door's closing behind me. I mean, let's put it this way. When the door closed, I felt it hit my ass. Walked in. Promptly greeted by the store manager.
Okay, professional and courteous prompt service.
His manicured fingernails, his Italian suit, his slicked back hair. And he immediately says to me, "Can I help you, sir?" I said, "Yes, I'm here to pick up an order."
Well, this is not a restaurant, sir. That's next door.
And the assistant.
Are you aware that you've stepped into a jewelry store, sir?
And the assistant who called me was in there and said, "I have your item." And so
problem solved.
Yeah. I take two more steps into the door, walk up to the counter where the lady's at. And the store manager follows me. He's right on my heel. And
critical question.
Yes.
Are you wearing a ball cap and or sunglasses?
No. Nope.
Okay.
No.
All right.
It's right on my heels. I walk up to the counter. And the store manager begins, "Where do you live?" I said,
"This after you've been identified mm-hmm. by the clerk
as a legitimate customer.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Where do you live?
Where do you live?" I said, "Well, just a few miles away from here. That's how I got here so quickly." "Lived here long?" I said, "Yeah, I've been here about 19 years. I see. So meanwhile, lady, she's running my credit card.
So you've been in the store.
I've been in the store about 2 minutes.
2 minutes, and they're already getting your money. She's running your car.
Yeah, she's doing her thing.
He's giving you the soft interrogation.
The soft interrogation.
As they're taking your money.
Yeah. I'm not done yet. I'm not done yet. How long have you lived here? About 19 years.
Mm-hmm. I see.
I see. He's got his hands in his pockets, and his tailored suit. "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm in the radio business." "Oh, that's good."
Is he smiling at all? Or?
He's got a S-eating grin on his face. Not like he's above me.
Mm-hmm.
You're in my store. What is someone like you doing in my store?
That you don't belong here.
Precisely. It was a class thing.
Are those athletic shoes you're wearing?
Yeah, well, hold it. Oh, I'll get to that.
Oh, geez.
I'll get to that.
I was joking.
So, you know, how many years you live in town? What do you do for a living? I'm in the radio business.
Oh.
Yeah, yep. So you're going into work now? Yes, I am. Well, I guess in the radio business, they have pretty odd hours. Going into work now? Yes, I am. Huh. I assume somebody like yourself doesn't have to work nights, huh? not unless I'm doing some kind of promotion or appearance.
Yeah, not unless they make me.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So she finishes up. Stan, here's your stuff. Just need your signature here. Certainly. He goes, radio business, huh?
She calls you by name.
Yes,
and
yes. This is the assistant. This is the head honcho. Salt and pepper hair, all slicked back, manicured nails.
And you're trying to complete a transaction.
Guess don't work nights too much over at the radio station, no. Uh-huh. Well, guess he looks up and down me with my T-shirt and shorts and sneakers on. Guess you can pretty much wear anything you want to work, huh? And I looked at him, and I said, yeah, I pretty much can wear whatever I want to work.
Reach that station in life, a-hole.
I said, salespeople have to come to work in shirt and ties,
right.
But I don't have to. Looks at me. You bring up the shoes. He goes, well, he says, job like that, you could probably wear flip-flops to work, huh? Yeah, if I wanted to. I prefer the tennis shoe. Mm-hmm. Finishes up with my order, staples it all down, hands it back to me, and she says, you have a nice day. Now, keep in mind, I got business cards. The names like Tad and Coco are the ones that are working in there.
God.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Tad the manager and Coco the assistant.
Mm.
And thank you very much for the service. Thank you. You have a great day now.
How much time has elapsed?
7 minutes. And as I grab my item, I'm walking across the showroom floor, and he's still on my heels, making sure that he is not more than 2 feet from me until I leave their showroom. And I walk out of the door, and as I walk out of the door, he's standing at the doorway and pulls the door shut. And I walk back out, and I'm like, whoa, I guess I'm too low class to be in this store, get the soft interrogation, comments about my work, where I live, how long have I been here, flip-flops at work, and I'm like, you've effing got to be kidding me. I just gave this place business.
And
that
from
is
what
amazing.
From what it sounds like.
And he looked at me like I was ready to go at the place with a hammer and reach in and grab all the jewels.
Sounds like no matter what you buy in there, you're out a serious chunk of change.
Yeah, and I was the only one in the store. And I'm like, is it me? Do I look that shifty? Do I look like I'm going to rob the place?
I have a feeling the guy was just a very weird character, and that was probably his stilted way of trying to make small talk.
He wasn't making small talk with me.
And maybe some people would find that funny. That's not funny. I really want to physically harm that gentleman.
Yes! I felt like some low-class piece of junk. And let me put it to you this way. I've been at my profession a while. There were several, one piece I could buy.
What he fails to understand is us at our age, the fact that we can dress any way we want. We dress like we're on our way to junior high school.
Yep.
You know why?
Why?
We're successful enough and powerful enough to do so.
Precisely.
Unlike him, who has to spend a good chunk of his income to impress a lot of people that ain't impressed with a salesman.
And that's what I thought, too. I said, look at you, Mr. Three-Piece Suit, gold rings, and Mr. Hotshot, and you're telling me? Who are you?
Yeah.
I felt so uncomfortable.
That's the guy that parks the Jag in front of his duplex.
Yeah.
We couldn't be more proud to work for the Beasley Media Group, and we'd like to thank them for the indoor plumbing and the microphones.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
You are a better man than I am. I would have let him have it.
It's one of those things, you know, the voice of everybody in the room never went above a whisper. You got to whisper in a place like that.
Greed and pretentiousness. I have something I'd like to tell you, a little article that I saw that really illustrates the greed and pretentiousness. Greed and pretentiousness. This is an article that is from the Guardian newspaper in England. Just take a second, but I think it'll hit home. The boss of a successful U.S. hedge fund has quit the industry with an extraordinary farewell letter dismissing his rivals as overprivileged idiots and thanking stupid traders for making him rich. Andrew Ladd's $80 million Los Angeles-based firm, Ladd Capital Management in Los Angeles, made a huge return last year simply by betting against subprime mortgages, betting against the whole house of cards. Yesterday, the 37-year-old told his clients that he hated the business and had only been in it for the money. After declaring he would no longer manage money for other people because he had enough of his own, Ladd said that instead he intended to repair his stress-damaged health and made it clear he would not miss the financial world at all. Quote, "The low-hanging fruit, i.e., idiots whose parents paid for prep school, Yale, and then the Harvard MBA, were there for the taking. These people, who were often truly not worthy of the education they received, or supposedly received, rose to the top of such companies as AIG, Bear Stearns, and Lehman Brothers, and all levels of our government. All of this behavior supporting the aristocracy only ended up making it easier for me to find people stupid enough to take the other side of my trades. God bless America." He became one of the biggest names in the investment industry when one of his funds produced a return of 866% last year, largely by forecasting the U.S. home loans industry would collapse. In his farewell letter, which concluded with a heartfelt appeal for legalization of marijuana, he said he was happy with his rewards and did not envy those who had made even more money. Quote, "I will let others try to amass 9, 10, or 11-figure net worths. Meanwhile, their lives suck," he wrote, citing a life of back-to-back business appointments, relieved only by a 2-week vacation in which those in the financial world are still glued to their BlackBerries. His retirement came amid an implosion among the hedge fund industry. Some 350 of the funds have liquidated this year. His final word of advice? Try throwing the BlackBerry away and enjoy life. I'm sorry you had to deal with that jerk today. And I'll guarantee you, he is a miserable, miserable man who is without a soul.
Okay. He'll be more miserable when I'm done window shopping.
Oh, don't give Tommy a target, and that one's lit up.
We're late. Let's get this out of the way.
Scouring the globe to bring you what you need to hear. According to him. Buckle your seatbelts. It's time for Stan's Audio Grab Bag.
Let me just say, here's one of our favorites.
And now it's time for another episode of What Women Are Really Thinking.
Mm. I love my dog. Not in a creepy Paris Hilton way. I mean, she doesn't have her own closet, but I still love her. Yesterday, she was trying to tell me something. Then it hit me. Oh my God, it's 9 o'clock. The Price is Right is on. She gets grouchy when she misses the showcase. I wonder if I love my dog too much. No guy wants to be with a woman who loves her animal too much. I mean, if the house caught on fire, the dog would definitely be the first one on the sidewalk wearing an oxygen mask. Why not? She loves me unconditionally. I mean, not totally unconditional. I have to feed her and clean up after her and let her sleep in bed with me. Wait a minute. It's exactly the same as a guy. That little... All this time I was thinking she just loved me for me and I was totally fooling myself.
Food.
She'd probably go off with anyone who had a milk bone. Cheater. Oh dear God, I need a boyfriend.
And that was another episode of What Women Are Really Thinking.
He's gone.
He's moved on.
Yes, he has.
Someone younger and hotter than you, baby.
Hallmark, you know, they have a card for everything, and
I guess we gotta
run this commercial too. They got new cards out.
Happy birthday to the best wife in the world. I love you so much, and I can't imagine living without
you. Happy graduation, son. We're so proud of you. Here's to
a happy anniversary, Grandma and Grandpa. We love you and can't wait to see you again.
There are all kinds of greeting cards for all kinds of occasions, from anniversaries to weddings, get-well cards, even birthday cards for your pet. But now, Hallmark has a brand new line of greeting cards for that very special occasion.
When I first met you, I knew we'd really click, and I hope you know how much I've loved getting to know your...
Hey girl, I love to be with you in the country or the city. But last night, what I really loved was playing with your...
Hallmark proudly presents Thank You for the Sex Cards. When a phone call or text message just won't do, pick up a Hallmark Thank You for the Sex Card.
Last night, it was great to hook up with you. Let's do it again when you're able. But please, let's use the couch next time because we broke the table.
Last night was great because we stayed at home and didn't spend any money. But my neighbors are giving me dirty looks and I'm really walking funny.
When you want to say thanks for the sex, you can count on Hallmark's new line of Thanks for the Sex Cards, now available in gay and lesbian.
Dude, it was great to see you, and I can't wait to see you again. But what I really liked last night was your balls against my chin.
I had fun at the soccer game, but I didn't even know the score, because all I could think of was getting you home to scissor you on the floor.
The new line of Thanks for the Sex Cards from your friends at Hallmark. Hallmark, when you care enough to send the very best.
What are you doing?
Filthy comedian Rudy Ray Moore. Filthy.
I would say even... And comparing era to era,
yes,
maybe filthier than Red Fox. Well, no doubt about it. Filthier than Red Fox.
Yeah, they couldn't even carry his albums, you know, in the record stores. The album covers, filthy.
But a huge cult following for those that like that sort of thing, and there are plenty of them.
He died from complications due from diabetes.
Full life?
Full life. He was 81, and you may remember him if you were into this stuff back in the 70s, the blaxploitation films.
Right.
He was Dolomite.
This is Rudy Ray Moore, better known as Dolomite. I'm the one that killed Monday and whooped Tuesday and put Wednesday in the hospital. Called up Thursday to tell Friday not to bury Saturday on Sunday. I've got an all-girl army that knows what to do. They'll fox as hell and practice kung fu. Dolomite. From the first to the last, I give them the blast so fast that their life is passed before they... This has even hit the grave. See me whack, jack, smack, crack, poof, black, blackjack, racetrack, and flapjack, and still coming back. Uptown, downtown, crowned and renowned. I put my finger in the ground and turn the whole world around. Dolomite, starring me, Rudy Ray Moore as Dolomite, and that bad Derville Martin as Willie Green. Dolomite. Rated R, under 17, not permitted without a parent or permission from your warden.
Dolomite. Yeah, he passed away.
You heard the man.
Quick clip here. Sarah Palin saying she just had a blast on Saturday Night Live.
It was so much fun, and the cast members were just amazing and talented and sharp. It was a blast.
Mm-hmm. She was such a good sport.
Right. Do we have a quick clip of her on there from Saturday Night Live? What, do we have the rap, don't we? little bit of that?
Where?
What, didn't you say you had that on
in
there?
In that folder.
Okay, I got to find the other folder. Give me a minute.
Just a quick clip of it because we're running out of time.
Well, you don't want to do that then.
All right, I don't want to do that then. Sorry. You know who had a problem with Sarah Palin being on Saturday Night Live?
Ed Koch?
No. Chevy Chase.
Who cares?
Who asked him?
He slammed Sarah
Palin. Did somebody ask him?
Yeah, I guess so. Chevy Chase here slammed Sarah Palin and the McCain campaign for her appearance on Saturday Night Live.
It's a big mistake for them to let her go on. The management behind McCain's campaign has been dumb. What was brilliant about Lauren is that they had nothing written for Sarah, and that apparently she cannot improvise herself, you know, out of a paper bag.
Last week, Democratic Congressman John Murtha of Pennsylvania called his constituents racist while talking about Barack Obama's chances of winning the state. Now, Murtha apologizes for the comment, but says that years ago, the state was, quote, redneck.
What I said was I indicted everybody. That's not what I meant at all. What I mean is there's still folks that have a problem voting for somebody because they're black. This whole area years ago was really redneck, particularly older people. They're hesitant. You know, they want change, but they don't want to see things go too far.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Here, Barack Obama sat down, I think it was with Matt Lauer, and Lauer trying to question Obama a little bit. Obama won't be baited. He won't say whether he thinks Sarah Palin's qualified to be president.
Is she qualified to be president today?
I am going to let the American people decide on that. Frankly, I just don't know enough about Sarah Palin. I haven't heard a long discussion
about Chicago Tribune,
policy.
Historically a very conservative paper from your hometown, in endorsing you, was critical of McCain, saying Sarah Palin is not ready.
Look, I'm running against McCain Palin. Anything that I say about Governor Palin will be seen through that lens. I don't need to add to people's assessments. Let the voters and observers make their own judgments in terms of who's qualified.
Obama was making a speech. He wants to, I guess, change bankruptcy laws and used McCain's seven houses as an example.
Right now, if you only own one home, you're not allowed to write down your mortgage in bankruptcy court. But if you own more than one home, if you own, say, six or seven homes, then you can write down your mortgage on your second, your third, your fourth, your fifth, your sixth, and your seventh home. That might help Senator McCain sleep easier at night, but it isn't right, and it will change when I'm president of the United States of America.
This is funny. From The Daily Show, they interview the current Wasilla, Alaska mayor, Diane Keller. This is great.
But don't let Wasilla's bucolic perfection fool you. The town's top job is anything but easy.
I guess a small town mayor is sort of like a community organizer, except that you have actual responsibilities.
Actual responsibilities.
Actual responsibilities.
That's a great joke.
In a zinger kind of way. Yeah.
Do you think being a small town mayor prepares you to be vice president of the United States?
An unequivocal yes.
How?
How?
Let's say you have a problem with the fire department. What would you do?
The city of Wasilla doesn't manage the fire department.
Okay, fine. Let's say there's something wrong with your school system.
We don't do the school system either.
Just pick any social service.
We don't do social services in Wasilla.
What do you do?
What do we do in Wasilla?
Take me through the mayor of Wasilla's day.
Just different things on different days. Well, Mondays at 10 o'clock, we always have a staff meeting. And then... every Thursday is a check signing day, so I sign all the checks for the city of Wasilla, pay bills.
With the mayor so hard at work, it's no wonder Wasilla is the envy of the entire state.
That's like a tough schedule, Mondays and Thursdays. Tough.
And finally, here's Stephen Colbert.
Here's what the general said on Meet the Press.
I think he is a transformational figure, and for that reason, I'll be voting for Senator Barack Obama.
You want a transformational figure, Powell? Endorse John McCain. This campaign has transformed him into everything he hated. Of course, there's one question. There's one question here about this endorsement that legally we are required to ask. Pat Buchanan.
We got to ask a question. Look, would Colin Powell be endorsing Barack Obama if he were a white liberal Democrat?
That bears repeating. Would Colin Powell be endorsing Barack Obama if he were a completely different person? So it just doesn't stand up to scrutiny. So what is this endorsement really about, folks? Rush Limbaugh shouted the answer from his subterranean love bunker.
It was totally about race.
Rush knows how African Americans think. How else would he convince 100% of them not to listen to his radio show?
5 days a week, he spends sleepless hours suffering migraine headaches, lower back pain, and hot flashes to bring you what you need to hear.
According to him.
Join us again next time for Stan's Audio Grab Bag.
Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
County law.
Who's that? Peter Man?
County
yes,
law.
Ma'am.
Is that county law?
Yes, ma'am.
Can we be on it?
You're going to be on it.
Okay, that's good.
Well, county good. Law.
But that's it.
When?
Yeah.
The next couple of weeks.
Oh, God. Lord.
Y'all smile pretty for the camera now.
County law. County law.
Attorney Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law joins us. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks. Not to be confused with county law.
Exactly. Now, you and I were talking before we came on the air, and you were listening to Haney and I talking about this area literally being ground zero.
Absolutely.
For the housing
and
bubble
with,
exploding.
With what we just talked about, we're getting it coming and going.
You have some interesting news.
And, you know, interestingly enough, when I was looking around thinking about what am I going to talk about on the show today, I picked this. There's a press release out from the state attorney general's office, not that Bill McCollum's running for re-election, by the way, that the Attorney General's Economic Crimes Division is investigating whether improper documentation may have been created and filed with Florida courts to speed up the foreclosure process. They're investigating the firms of Marshall C. Watson, Shapiro and Fishman, and David J. Stern. And I got to tell you, those are the three firms that I see in every single foreclosure. And they're all East Coast firms. They hire local counsel here. I've never seen a file without one of those three firms.
Really?
Yeah. And this is what I have been saying for months and months and months, and nobody would listen to me. Judge, these documents are not adequate to grant summary judgment. I, of course, made one mistake last week, and I said, Judge, you can't grant summary judgment.
Oh, yeah.
She looked at me and said, I can't. Watch me. Judgment for the plaintiff. Next case. Yeah, don't tell a judge you can't.
Right.
Bad. bad lawyer.
So that's a mental note you made in your head.
Yeah, yeah. Note to self.
don't
judge,
do that.
Judge, you really shouldn't grant summary judgment. you can do whatever you want. but
not really.
These well, that's what they're doing. That's what they're doing.
That's the attitude, but hopefully you're able to take it higher up the food chain as we've seen with many local issues. It has to go up the food chain before things get done.
You actually have these judges.
And it's too late for some people.
You actually have these judges referring in court to the Rocket docket. This is the Rocket docket. I'm not going to hear you on that motion. We're disposing of cases here.
What's, what is the rocket docket?
Just speed it up and get it done.
Yeah, that was made up by the people on that docket. You just grant judgment for the bank so we can get this case off your docket. It's the rocket docket. Keep them moving.
Because the bank couldn't be wrong.
Exactly. So they're granting judgment in favor of the bank. I had one this morning where IndyMac, who, by the way, is no longer in business, sued in 2008 a homeowner for foreclosure. In 2010, Deutsche Bank sued that same homeowner for the same note and the same mortgage. So now this guy has two foreclosure actions on one mortgage and one promissory note and two different people suing him to get the money.
That's insane. It's insane.
Now, who brought these lawsuits? These lawyers should be sanctioned.
Here's what
do
I don't...
Do we know, since you've narrowed it down, or not you, but it's by but the Attorney General's office, they've narrowed it down to these three firms.
Right.
Where the fish rots at the head. Whose interests are being pushed through?
The banks. Obviously, the banks. And the banks have the money. And the problem is...
Why are we doing that?
When these judges say... I don't want to hear it, judgment for the bank. What happens is that person, you're saying, well, it should be brought up at some higher level. Yeah, but that person doesn't have $10,000 to go through the appellate process, and that's what it takes. The filing fee alone's over $500.
Mike, here's what I don't understand. Hold it, but I got it, because this is happening to me to a degree. Here's what I don't understand.
I don't understand how they can charge that much money.
When you have two banks going and saying they own the note. I have two mortgages, two separate residences that I pay a mortgage on, one I live in and one I don't.
Yeah, not by choice. Ain't not like by he's choice. Got a vacation home.
But, yeah, but
something
I...
Something to do with an ex-wife, I'm sure.
Yes. I received notice in the mail that
respondent.
My... Yeah, yes. That my mortgage had been sold to another bank.
Right.
Now, it says in the note, if you make a payment before the first of the month, it goes to your old bank. If you make a payment after the first of the month, it goes to the new bank. So if I'm unable to pay my mortgage and I go into foreclosure, are you telling me that the courts are seeing in cases that you pointed out that two banks are saying, because they sold a mortgage, are saying, you owe me both. Both banks want their money. But there's a date on the document that you get when
that
move happened.
So in other words, you've got a mortgage, and let's say the value is $200,000. In essence, the court is finding summarily that you now owe $400,000.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's a date on the paper that I got when it changed.
And they're in two different cases, so they're in front of two different judges. And so what do you do with that? You file
rocket
a motion
docket.
To dismiss? Yeah, grant judgment for the... Okay, well, now you said I owe this bank. Now this bank's still suing me for the same $243,000.
Another rocket docket.
277 or 775-9600 if you'd like to get some legal advice from Mike Chinopoulos from Absolute Law.
How is it possible that they refuse to even hear...
It's easy. They take your constitutional rights, they wad them up like toilet paper and flush them. And now we don't have to hear anything.
Tom is on line 3. He's been waiting, and he says he's a friend of yours.
He is. I know Tom. He said he was going to call.
Go ahead, Tom.
Do you have your cell number there?
Yeah. What is this, a personal call?
Hey, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you fine.
Hey, listen, this is crazy. I'm going to tell you, I was in court... I think it was about 5 or 6 weeks ago, and I have been victim to almost exactly what Attorney Chinopoulos is talking about. I have been, I was an investor for a lot of years, and am an independent business owner, and I have taken a severe beating because of this real estate market and the change in the economic status that we have going on out there right now. But more importantly, what he's talking about exactly, I went in front of a judge, and I believe it was Judge Schreiber, and I have no problem with mentioning the name. It was a female. And I had evidence, and I mean pages and pages of evidence, that the lender that I was being foreclosed on by was not even a legal lender. They did not even have a lender's license. They were not even legal. They had no... business even giving me the loan to begin with, and I was not aware of that. But yet they were able to go after me, foreclose on me, and I got in front of the judge and went to plead my case to show the evidence that they were not even a legal licensed lender in the state of Florida.
Is this like one of those, like a countrywide deal where they were using other language as opposed to mortgage?
No, this was a private individual who was acting as a lender, and there are legally licensed individuals out there that act as lenders, but they're legally licensed. Now, what happened was, got in front of this Judge Schreiber, and
went to present
the evidence, and she said, wait a minute, there's a summary judgment here.
Tom, slow down. Slow down. Hey, Haney, what were you saying?
I was just wondering if, in that case, when you... you know, when the title work was involved, wouldn't you have private mortgage insurance?
Well, you would think so, but you know what?
Isn't
mortgage
it required?
Insurance was not issued.
Yeah. Isn't it required?
No. And the problem is what Tom had here and what he's trying to say. I'll summarize it for him.
Thank you.
Is that the lender?
No offense, Tom, but we got limited time. I understand you're pissed off and you got every right to be.
Yeah, the point lender is that I got about a dozen of these that I'm dealing with, and they just don't listen.
Tom,
Schreiber looked at the date of the summary final judgment, which
can
was
you mute Tom?
Yes.
Can you mute
yep,
Tom?
I just
Tom.
Did. He can
right,
hear
again,
you, but
Tom.
We can't hear
again,
him.
He has every right to be pissed off, but we got to figure out the big picture here.
Here's the summary. There was a private lender who lent Tom money and held himself out as a mortgage broker when, in fact, he wasn't licensed by the state and didn't meet any of the requirements. And had the
now
borrower known that...
That did not go on during the bubble.
Yeah, and had the borrower know that, he wouldn't have borrowed the money.
I think every third person I met was a mortgage broker
and,
at that
and
time.
Now the judge doesn't want to hear it. Judgment for the plaintiff. We're done here. Next case.
Doesn't want to hear it. Didn't even look at the evidence. Said 08 summary judgment. This is 2010. Fines for the plaintiff. And I'm standing there. I didn't get a chance to say, oh, but Your Honor, I've had 30 back procedures in the last 2 years. I was hit by a car. I'm sorry I didn't get around to getting in court sooner. You know, my life's been a little screwed up with everything that's going on.
Here's my
message, Tom.
Here's my message. Thank you. Tom, here's my message. We're going to have to get on to some other callers, and I appreciate how fired up you are about this. And everybody should be fired up about what's going on.
Unfortunately, when you get fired up, especially in front of a judge, it tends to have the opposite effect.
Yeah, it has
effect.
Consequences.
Yeah.
But here's my message to everybody like Tom. A, get a lawyer so you figure out what your rights are. But B, you gotta vote in the election. You gotta send these judges a message that trampling your constitutional rights is not okay. Vote, vote, vote.
Thank you, Tom.
Now, you having been on the other end of it in, you know, the military. And
I was a civilian judge as well.
So being on the other side of that. With that attitude just seems so prevalent.
It is.
Do you understand where that attitude comes from? Because having gotten to know you a little bit, I can't imagine you just basically saying, you know,
no.
F you to somebody without even looking at the case.
No. When I was a judge, it was like a circuit court position. It was in another state. To do that job correctly was a lot of work. I took home and read 2 hours every night before the docket the next morning, and even looked at the law when I had to when the lawyers didn't present it. It's a lot of work. And these judges are overwhelmed. They're overworked. They have over 3,000 active cases, and they just can't do it. So to some degree, it's not their fault.
But is there collusion here where they've all gotten together and said, we're going to find in favor of the banks just so that we can get them out of the system?
I have some questions in my mind as to whether or not there's collusion between the judges and the local counsel for these three firms that I mentioned. I don't think it's formal collusion. I don't think they went and did a handshake, but I think there's a wink and a nod in the courtroom, and this is the way it goes.
Well, again, you pointed out we do have an election coming up. To what extent do you think the Attorney General is willing to get his hands dirty?
Well, I think he's going to have to now that he's done this investigation. I think he's going to find some wrongdoing. But more importantly, why aren't we looking at the judges that are doing this?
I mean, is Tallahassee even able to fix this? Do the feds need to come in here?
Well, I think the Florida Judicial Qualifications Commission needs to get involved. You know, everybody that's had this happen to them, there is a Florida Judicial Qualifications Commission. You can go online and find it. You can file a complaint, and they'll look into it.
I got to be honest. What you're telling me is really kind of mind-blowing, and the fact that you're dealing with it every day runs counter to everything that an elementary school student is taught about the law.
This is a fundamental constitutional law issue, and here's what I would challenge every one of your listeners. Pick up the phone, call the courthouse, and ask to speak to a judge. Now, you won't get to. You'll get their judicial assistant. But say, I'm a citizen, I'm a constituent, I have no case before this judge, and I'd like to speak to the judge.
Make sure you include your Social Security number, your current address.
But you say, I have no case pending in the courthouse, just as a constituent, I want to speak to my representative. The judge will eventually call you back. Ask that judge, how many articles are there in the Constitution? How many times has the Constitution been amended?
How long before they hang up on you?
If you have one judge answer that question correctly, I'll stand out in the parking lot in my underwear holding my bar cart above my head.
Please don't.
Nobody wants to see that.
Glenn,
can we think of another incentive?
There's an image you could have done without the rest of your life.
I think maybe just find another incentive. You're on the right track.
Stan Haney's feeling poison.
Glenn is on line one. Glenn, say hi to Mike Chiannopoulos.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
Hey, Glenn. How are you?
Real good, real good. I got a big question about some child support for you. I'm wondering if you might be able to help me out here.
Sure. What do you got?
I'll try to make a long story short. I met a woman about 14, 15 years ago. We had a child together. And I woke up one morning went to work one morning and came back, and she was gone. And there was a note on the table that said, thanks, all I got was I got my sperm donor. Goodbye.
Yeah, well, at least you're still at your table, but go ahead.
No kidding. Barely had anything else. I didn't have my sanity, I can tell you that. But what happened about 7 or 8 years later, I get this letter in the mail, and they want $50,000 from me, and $600 a month is what I'm paying for this child that I've never seen. Well, I've seen a couple times.
But were you were never intended to be involved in that child's life, correct?
That's right. No, actually, I was. I was there for the birth.
Yeah, but she didn't have any long-term plans
for
your
involvement. She called you a sperm donor.
Exactly.
Apparently not. I guess she snowed me pretty good. I feel like the biggest fool on the planet.
All right, so what do you want to...
Here, try this apple.
What do you want to ask Mike, though? What question do you want to answer?
The courts will not grant me a hearing for, like, I was never able to give any, like, wage statements or an opportunity to, like, for...
To determine to, child
to
support.
To see the child or
is this,
anything like
is this
that.
In Lee County?
Pardon me?
Is this in Lee County?
Actually, they're in Duval County. I live in Collier County.
Okay. Well, what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to file a motion to get all of that before the court, and you file your motion, you send it to the other side, and if they don't agree to a setting, you set the hearing date, you send them notice, and you show up at the courthouse.
So, oh, okay, if you need a lawyer to do that. They've tried to serve her, and if for some reason there's some process, or they're having problems with the process of serving these people.
Yeah, there are ways to get that done. If you need me to help you, 349-8010.
All right, Glenn.
349-8010. I'll write that down. Thank you. I'll be in touch.
All right.
And it reminds me of some sage advice I got from my grandpa.
Yeah.
I didn't understand it at the time because I was only 2 years old, but he said, play safe. Accidents cause people.
Last call. John is on line two. John, very quickly, we got about a minute. Say hi to Mike Chiannopoulos and throw your question at him.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? Hey, my question is, I'm a local blue-collar working-class guy, and, you know, my advisor recommended that I invest some money in some sort of a vice fund or something, and he never told me that the fund had a whole bunch of tobacco and alcohol-related type companies in there. What'd you think it was?
It's a vice fund.
It's a vice fund.
Well, I mean, he didn't tell me. I thought it was tools. You know, like a vice is something that would be on a work.
Oh, shut up.
Goodbye. Hey, we'll take Rick. We'll take him.
Come on, you goofball.
Come on.
Hit the button.
All right, there you.
Hey, Rick.
Rick, go ahead. You're the last caller.
Rick.
Hey, my name's Rick. I've been a State Farm agent in this town for about 30 years. I recently was forced in retirement.
I'm happy with my auto insurance.
Well, I'm an independent now, and I think Mike may remember me, but I have a question concerning like a contract. And you have a non-solicitation and a non-compete clause. And could Mike explain the differences and what are the pitfalls that maybe some of these companies, big companies, that will try to snare you
austere person into, you know.
I address
it. Isn't it amazing? Yeah. We get the same subjects over
keep
and over
up.
And over
this
again.
This is also a guy who said he knows me. All these people, they sound different with their clothes on.
Yeah.
Okay, quickly.
You had better be careful. The underwear thing.
Yeah,
I'm going to call the judge on that.
You don't know what they got going on under that robe either.
Real quickly, a non-compete is generally not enforceable in Florida, but is under certain circumstances like dissolving a company, leaving employment, et cetera. It says you can't do the same job within a certain area for a certain time. It has to be reasonable in time, like 1 year or 2 years. It has to be reasonable in space, 5 or 10 miles, one city, whatever. A non-solicitation means you can't solicit the business that you used to solicit when you worked for me. And a non-disclosure is you can't give anybody else any of our trade secrets or use them yourself. They're three separate things. Judges and lawyers alike mix them up and intertwine them inextricably and make a mess of the whole court system with those three things.
So what results is, even if you are in the right, a judge is probably inclined to just send out an injunction
right.
to stop you from working, and God knows when you're right. going to get hurt.
You got to educate the judge.
And in the meantime, that means you got no income.
Hopefully you can educate the judge at the hearing.
So how early would you get a hearing?
You can get an emergency immediate hearing and then a 10-day hearing.
Oh, okay. Well,
there
that's
you go,
better
Rick.
Than I thought.
There you go, buddy. Quickly, get your phone number, your address.
It's Mike at Absolute Law. It's 349-8010, and it's Mike at AbsoluteLaw.net.
And if you hear Mike, he's more than willing to take your calls at the office, free consultation.
Call me.
And see if you got anything that he can help you with.
Don't think you have to let the banks run over you on foreclosure. They have lawyers. You should, too.
Well, okay. And evidently they have a select group there. That,
thank you,
that bears,
Mike.
Some looking into there.
We'll see you next Tuesday.
All right. Thanks, guys.
He's always on top of it.
Always. Always. Mike Chinopoulos, Absolute Law. Stan and Haney, 96K around.
Some see the glass as half empty. Others see it as half full. We simply see rum. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
Okay, babies, let's get in the stroller. Daddy's going for a walk.
Ugh, sick. Disgusting. Something's happened to him. I know this whole deal about face your fears, but yes. It's gone the other way.
My babies.
I mean, there's an argument to be made that as human beings, we should be repulsed by rats.
You're darn right.
There's a reason that instinct is there.
Babies.
He keeps them very clean.
Stan and Haney, time now.
I've never heard him say that.
I've seen him.
Yes. I give him a bath.
Mm-hmm. And they're litter trained, right?
Yeah, litter trained. Once in a while, they miss the box.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, they get their flea and worming.
People are crazy about their pets.
They sure are.
Matter of fact, Sanibel just approved $40,000 for a dog park.
I know! So you can bring your dog.
What? Well, what recession? Everything's great.
Time now to play Are You Smarter Than Haney? Up for grabs a $50 gift certificate. The way this works... Got 10 statements. You simply have to say whether the statement is true or false. You get more right than Haney, you win. Matter of fact, let me show you how the game's played.
Okay.
Tom, say you're the caller.
Hi, Stan. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, who's this?
Jerry Bellier.
Hi, Jerry.
Where'd you go to school, Jerry?
Barron Collier High School.
Well, when'd you graduate?
83. Rock on.
All right.
Go Cougars.
Here we go.
Cougars.
In zero gravity... A liquid would form itself into a round ball. Is that true or false, Haney? In zero gravity, a liquid would form itself into a round ball.
False.
Jerry?
I say true.
It is true.
Oh, no, it's
and
not.
And Jerry would get the point.
It would be formless.
No, formless. It'll form a sphere, a ball.
Right, right. That's all because of surface tension.
Exactly.
Well, I'm no scientist.
A little music there, Tommy.
Are they all going to be like that?
No. A lot of them have to do with excrement.
Okay.
Oh, God.
Now, that's something I know a little something about.
Let's find a player.
A player.
Ahoy, who's this?
This is Gary, and I'd like to report that there's no way that I am smarter than you guys.
Okay, good. Okay. We figured that one out. Ahoy.
Hello.
Who's this?
So he... hold on just a second, sir. So yep. That gentleman not only conceded to me, he conceded to everyone, including you and Tom.
Yeah. Correct. What's your name, buddy?
My name's Mike Cugino.
Mike, you want to play Are You Smarter Than Haney?
I would love to play Am I Smarter Than Haney.
All right, here we go. 10 questions. You get more right than him, you win. And up for grabs, the $50 gift certificate. Here we go.
Okay.
Haney will answer first, then you will answer, Mike.
Okay.
With simply true or false. Here we go. Number one, the final book in the Harry Potter series surpassed the Bible as the best-selling book of all time.
False.
Mike, what do you say?
I say false.
It is false. According to the History Channel, the Bible is still the best-selling book of all time with more than 50 copies sold every minute. And a little footnote to that, it is also the most shoplifted book in the world.
Wow.
Well, that's because of the Gideons.
Yep, exactly. Number two, Egyptian pyramids included toilets for the pharaoh to use in the afterlife. In the pyramids, they included toilets.
Well, they weren't porcelain.
Correct.
But the Egyptian equivalent of a toilet.
Yes.
Yes, that was absolutely in the...
so true.
Anything they needed for the afterlife... Anything they needed in life was provided for them for their afterlife. So, yes.
Okay, so Haney says true. Mike, what do you say?
I say true with some probably type of a pot that they probably use. I agree with Haney, true.
It is true. Number three. And again, I told you a lot of it has to do with excrement.
Mm-hmm.
On average, a person in Southern Asia produces three times as much feces in a day as the average European.
Huh.
In other words, they go to the bathroom more.
No,
three
no, no.
times more.
You're
number
saying
two.
Volume.
You're saying
number...
they produce more or they go more?
Produces.
So just the amount of volume.
The amount.
Volume, yeah.
So Asians, you're saying...
produce three times the amount.
That is false.
What do you...
I agree with Haney. That's false.
It's true.
No, come on.
All the vegetables?
Racist,
correct.
You racist bastard.
Due to the high fiber content...
You know what they say about those Asians.
Due to the high fiber content in Asian diets,
yeah.
They produce three times as much feces in a day as an average European. Number four.
Well, and Europeans like a lot of cheese, so it binds them up.
Precisely. Number four, the average person passes gas three times a day.
False.
What do you say, Mike?
False. It's got to be more.
You better believe it. It's false. The average is about 10 times a day.
Well, I think you're being kind.
Yes.
I think we're all above average in this room.
We're all above average.
Exceptional.
Yeah, Mike, you above average?
Yeah, it's proportional to the amount of beer I consume.
All right. Now, here we think about this one now. We're up to number five.
Okay.
Grey Poupon, mustard, and the slang term poop both get their names from a French word meaning dull-colored. Grey Poupon mustard and the slang term poop both get their names from a French word meaning dull-colored.
I'm going to regret it, but it sounds plausible enough to be true.
Mike, what do you say?
I'm going to disagree. I'm going to say false.
It is false. The mustard is named after its two founders, Maurice Gray and Antoine Poupon.
Mm-hmm.
Poop. Poop is an old English word that originally refers to, see question four, passing gas.
Okay. Wow.
Number six.
It's not just a game, Stan. You're teaching people.
Yeah, exactly.
He doesn't know.
Number six. Jelly donuts have fewer calories and less fat than plain donuts. Jelly donuts have fewer calories and less fat than plain donuts. Annie? False. What do you say, Mike?
It sounds so odd. I'm going to say true.
It is true.
Wow.
No, it's not.
It's impossible.
The jelly displaces the fat from the fry.
No, but there is none because that's where the hole is.
Again, let me explain because it is true. Jelly donuts have fewer calories and less fat than plain donuts. Why? When they are deep fried, the ring-shaped donuts have more of their surface exposed to the oil.
To the fat, yeah.
Yep.
More surface area to suck in fat.
Yep.
This is bogus.
I think you're getting beat. Number seven. If John McCain wins the election and then unfortunately dies, Sarah Palin would become the shortest president in U.S. history.
False.
What do you say, Mike?
I would say that's got to be false.
It is false. Sarah Palin is 5'5". That is an inch taller than James Madison, the fourth president of the United States.
Wow, she was that close to it, though. Huh?
Yeah.
An inch, huh? Interesting.
Number
those
eight.
Those legs look longer on TV. Looks don't like they reach all the way to heaven.
Oh, she's pretty.
Well, she always wears spiked heels.
Yeah.
You see, they get a load of those boots she wore at the end of Saturday Night Live.
Dominatrix boots.
Boots,
yeah.
Spiked heels. She's hot. number eight. If John McCain wins the election, he would be just the third president in history to be below average height. If John McCain wins the election, he would be just the third president in history to be below average height. True or false, Sanny?
True.
What do you say, Mike?
I'm going to agree with Haney. He's pretty short. I say true.
It is true. At 5'7", and that's how tall John McCain is, 5'7", he would tie for the fourth shortest president in history. Number nine. We're going to talk about space right now and man on the moon.
Something you know a little bit about.
And you do too. Let's see if you guys can get it.
Okay.
Neil Armstrong's first step on the moon was with his right foot. Haney?
False.
Mike, what do you say?
Oh, I got a 50-50 chance here. I'm going to say false because I think he jumped out with both feet.
I wouldn't have prefaced that, but you did say false. It is false. He stepped off the limb with his left foot first.
Oh, okay. Well, I was wrong, but right. I said false, so.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, so you still got it.
Okay, cool.
Number 10, the 10th and final. Lottery winners in the United States pay lower taxes on their jackpot than winners in Canada, Great Britain, and Australia.
True.
I agree with Haney on that, true.
It's false.
Oh, jeez.
Lottery winnings.
They got all the health care and all that.
Yeah, I hear from these Brits is how bad their taxes.
Get a load of this. In Canada, Britain, and Australia, lottery winnings are not subject to personal income tax in those mentioned nations.
But I thought they did everything wrong.
If you won the lottery in Canada, Great Britain, and Australia.
No taxes.
No taxes.
What about gambling winnings? Like casino if you hit it big.
Then I'm going to reply to that email I got about winning this international lottery. I think the taxes would kill me.
All right, now let's go to the tote board, and Tommy's over there was keeping track of everything. Who won? Are you smarter than Haney?
Haney had 6. Mike had 8.
Oh, Mike, nice job.
Yeah, kicking rump.
You only missed 2.
Well, 50-50 chance.
Oh, look at you. Oh, my goodness.
Concede, actually,
51-49 because it was Stan flipping the coin.
Unbelievable. You did. You beat him, and you beat him soundly.
That's not soundly.
Thank you. I've been trying to play forever. Haney, I respect you and your intelligence. But today I just whooped you.
Yep, you were intelligence. Intelligence has nothing to do with it.
So does Haney have to say, I am not smarter than Mike?
It would make him a bigger man on this thing, since every other loser has to say it to Haney.
Well,
I think it's only appropriate.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Right. I'll take the gift certificate and tell you that you're smarter. Because,
what's that about? Well, yeah, what is
because,
that about?
Because the caller is compensated in some way. My only form of compensation is that someone says that I'm smarter than them.
As my grandfather would say, he could argue the horns off a ghost.
Of course he could.
I'm just a simple country lawyer. Mike, wearing a buckskin jacket.
Let me put you on hold. Tommy will get all the information
from you. Good job.
And enjoy your $50 gift certificate.
Thanks, guys. All right, hold, it was a lot of fun.
Hold on, buddy.
I did not find that fun.
We're going to take a break. First, look at traffic, news headlines, and the 4 o'clock fluffer.
Go ahead. You know what? He's got just a smile tattooed on his face. He could not be.
Who does?
You.
I just told you. I started the day in a good mood.
Yeah, but you just can't seem to stop smiling.
The Garrett, Hawaii 5-0.
Batman.
Kojak.
Frank Cannon.
Jim Rock.
Stan here.
This is 86 calling control.
I'm Mark Haney.
John Robinson commanding.
Are you finished?
Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
In the afternoon, glad to have you along. Rock Wars coming up right now. Let's get updated. Your first look at traffic.
Now, K-Rock Traffic. Here's Tommy Trafficante.
Hi, Tommy. Hi, Larry. All hell's breaking loose out there.
Thank you, Tommy.
Damn tree.
Coming up in less than 1 hour, it'll be Mark Haney and the news. Let's get a look at the headlines.
Coming up, Bob Hope's widow, a former guest on this program, the 99-year-old Dolores Hope, may have had a stroke.
Oh, my goodness. Shocker.
Michael Jackson moved into his new home.
New home? I didn't know he had a new home.
Well, it's a friend's home that he's moving into. It's conveniently located right across the street from an elementary school.
Oh, my God!
Nick Hogan had a big get-out-of-jail party. Police were called. In yet another vicious, emasculating shot at Guy Ritchie's dwindling manhood, Madonna dressed his son, Rocco, in a Yankees shirt.
Oh, that whole A-Rod thing, just taking another swipe at him.
You can now send people an e-card to alert them to the fact that you may have given them an STD. And finally, gentlemen, hold on to your balls. From the archives, legitimate sex tips for women from the year 1894. We got their whole playbook, and we'll tell you everything in it.
From 1894?
Still in use today.
Cannot wait to hear it.
Yeah. These were things that men were never meant to know.
Really?
We spill the beans in less than an hour on the news.
Thank you, Mark. Wow. Now, something we like to call the 4 o'clock fluffer. Mark?
Stan? Joe Biden said that America's enemies would quickly test Barack Obama if he is in fact elected. Obama says he's ready for any test. That is, as long as it's not preceded by the words random and or drug. Sigourney Weaver says she is incensed by Sarah Palin. Weaver made the comment from the set of her latest Alien film, as a team of makeup artists did their best to make it clear that she was not the bad guy.
He's aging.
Both presidential campaigns are using what they call robocalls. These are calls made by computers to reach likely voters. I believe we have one of those calls on tape. Tommy? Mm-hmm.
Robocall.
Hello, this is the Republican National Committee. Did you know that Barack Obama closely associates with terrorists?
John McCain says he likes his odds of winning the election. Finally, some common ground. President Bush says the near panic about the nation's financial crisis in recent weeks is finally easing. Reaction is now settled into two distinct camps, numb and complete panic.
Down 500 today.
The TSA may end its ban on liquids for carry-on bags. Good news, Tara Reid, you're becoming more and more flyable. The Dallas Independent School District fired 375 teachers. It's reported the move will save the district well over $4,000 a year.
Wow.
Suicide rates in the United States on the rise. Watch out, gentlemen. Sounds like Kate Hudson's on the prowl again.
She does. She destroys lives.
A British man has set sail from England to Australia in a homemade wooden boat. Breaking news, a British man dead tonight after his homemade wooden boat sunk less than a mile from shore.
Damn it, and I thought he was going to make it.
Go, Woody.
We all had high hopes.
Jessica Biel recently went off on some paparazzi that confused her with Jessica Alba. And then Jessica Simpson jumped into the fray, and they tripled scissored until, sadly, my alarm clock went off.
Oh, triple scissored.
Picture that. That is so awesome.
Throwing Jessica to Andy.
Yeah, and that spoils it. I'd wake up.
In her day.
Yeah, yeah.
Angelina Jolie says she may adopt yet another baby. Jolie made the comment after discovering that Brad Pitt was stubbornly hanging on to a tiny shrivel of his devastated manhood. Glenn Beck is leaving CNN for Fox News. Oh. Beck's seat will be filled by Anderson Cooper. What? There's nothing dirty or gay about that.
His seat will be filled.
Right.
Zac Efron said he had to be dragged to his senior prom, or was it go in drag to the senior prom? It's a little unqueer. I to play Etta James in a new movie, the beautiful Beyoncé had to put on 15 pounds.
Yeah, she did.
That's a lot, 15 pounds. That's roughly the weight of David Moulton's head.
You're being kind.
Like a gourd.
A new biography claims that John Lennon was abusive towards women. Yet, he was never abusive to Yoko. Again, to repeat the accusation, he was abusive towards women.
I play the metal pail and cat.
A mistrial was declared in Britney Spears' driving without a license case. 10 jurors voted to acquit and 2 voted for the death penalty. I'm kidding, of course. We have no way of knowing how many voted to acquit. Guy Ritchie's father said that Madonna's recent comments about his son are just beastly, as are her massive biceps. The popular singer Pink says that she was seeing a specialist because she thought that she might be an alcoholic. Apparently, the problem got so bad it took quite a toll on her sex life. She was apparently drinking so much that she could barely get an erection. India's top chess player is moving closer and closer to retaining the Chess World Championship in a match against a formidable Russian opponent. But what's really impressive is how he's still doing Dell tech support calls. Over 1,000 dogs in China were sickened with tainted food. Chinese authorities immediately addressed the issue by taking them off the menu altogether. Waiters in India recently beat a tourist to death after an argument turned deadly. The argument over how beer should be served. He died for a noble cause, responded longtime Stan and Haney listener Toby of North Fort Myers. The global financial crisis may force a rabbi training school in Germany to close. I wouldn't worry too much. I mean, I'm sure someone will step up to help them out. If history is any sort of guide, the Germans are a compassionate people, especially towards the Jews.
You know, my father died in Auschwitz!
My grandpa died also in Auschwitz. He fell from a watchtower.
The three men convicted of the Bali nightclub bombings. Are you all right?
I think he's hurt.
Whoa!
I think Joe is hurt.
Whoa! My goodness!
Did that catch you off guard?
Maybe you should play it again. Maybe you didn't hear it. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think that reaction is warranted.
You know, my father died in Auschwitz!
My grandpa died also in Auschwitz. He fell from a watchtower.
That's so bad.
The three men convicted of the Bali nightclub bombings may be killed by firing squad, or they may be dressed as watermelons and thrown from a tall building. You can text your vote to the number on your screen now. The makers of Zima have officially discontinued the product. Terrible news for people who like to party like it's 1993, but all is not lost, folks. You can still make your own Zima Gold.
Oh, no more Zima.
Brett Favre allegedly gave the Detroit Lions insider information on his former team, the Packers, before they played each other. Packers fans feel like they've been stabbed in the back. Fat. Fat. Time now for today's news quiz. Don't worry, it's multiple choice.
Okay. Wow.
What?
Are you still reeling?
Yeah.
That's what I don't.
I've got to get it out of my head.
Okay. Barack Obama will take a break from his campaign to visit A, his sick grandmother, B, his sick grandfather, or C, Bill Ayers, Jeremiah Wright, and Osama bin Laden.
Meeting with them all.
Joe Biden says that within 6 months of becoming president, Barack Obama will be tested by A, an international crisis, B, a terrorist attack, or C, a white woman with a big butt. Mountain climbers believe they found the footprints of the elusive Yeti outside of A, Nepal, B, Kathmandu, or C, Sherry Shepherd's dressing room. Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones says Wade Phillips will be allowed to A, remain with the team through the end of the season, B, call all plays with no interference from Jones, or C, choose the method of his own execution. Brooke Hogan recently declared that she can't wait to see her A, brother, B, new video, or C, surgically reduced Adam's apple.
Brother.
Sure, it sounds completely uninteresting, unentertaining, but believe it or not, worse options exist. For proof, check out today's list of the
top
things more painful to watch than a Rays-Phillies World Series.
Yeah.
These are things more painful to watch than the World Series.
Gotcha.
A DNA scan of Pam Anderson's hep-infested bedspread.
Oh!
Watching an episode of Sex and the City with a room full of gays.
Call me.
Your 401k.
Oh, yeah.
Anything written and or directed by M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong. Chelsea Clinton in Heat.
Oh!
Drew Carey flirting with a Price is Right girl.
That's creepy.
A Tijuana Donkey Show. Sober.
Oh.
Jewel in the dentist chair. Close-ups of Cloris Leachman's cleavage. Joe Biden sitting down to get a fresh set of hair plugs. And finally, the sad sight of Hugh Hefner desperately coaxing his junk into semi-firmness. And that, my friends, is the 4 o'clock fluffer.
Thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Stan.
Semi-firmness.
Seems like you had an odd reaction to some of the audio elements during the fluffer.
That one caught me off guard.
What caught you off guard exactly?
That whole thing, how wrong on many levels.
You know, my father died in Auschwitz!
My grandpa died also in Auschwitz. He fell from a watchtower.
All right, we're going to take a break.
A lot of people ask, how did Stan and Haney get this gig? It's actually an interesting story. You see, they were hanging out in a Home Depot parking lot, all liquored up before sunrise, when Brad Beasley drove up, yelled something at them in Spanish, showed them a $10 bill, and told them to get into his truck pronto. Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock.
glad to have you along. It's a Tuesday, and in just a few minutes, we'll give somebody a chance to get a $50 gift certificate for playing What's Going On. We'll explain it momentarily. It's very easy, but you got to know your current events. Within the past couple of weeks, you'll have a cat.
It's an important time to know your current events.
Know your current events. That's all you got to know. We call it What's Going On. And if you answer one question, you're going to get the $50 gift certificate. It'll be your choice of category, too. Simple as that.
Couldn't be easier.
Couldn't be easier. But first, let's take a look at traffic with Tommy.
Now, K-Rock Traffic. Here's Tommy Trafficante.
Hi, Tommy. Hi, Larry. Hello, everyone. And that's what's happening.
All right, Tommy. Thank you. Time now to play What's Going On. You think you know your current events, you could win a $50 gift certificate if you want to play. 277-9600. That's what I want.
Baby.
That's what I want.
What's going on?
And I will basically tell you the rules right now. I have three categories of current event.
Current events?
That was a very delayed S.
He can't help it. It's the French-Canadian.
Choose the category you think you know best, whether it be topical news, business, or entertainment. Pick your category. You'll be given one current event question in that category. If you miss it, you can choose from one of the two remaining categories. You miss that one, you'll get one from the third category, which everyone's left over. You miss that, we'll go to the next caller.
They got three tries.
You got three tries to answer one news topical question.
Current event.
Current
question.
Event. Simple.
Couldn't be simpler.
Couldn't be simpler. Ahoy.
Hey, Stan.
Who's this?
I'm ready to play,
Uh-oh.
Whatever the name
Who's
is.
Who's this?
This is Blind Tom again.
Blind Tom?
Yep.
You can,
sure.
You're more than welcome to try, Tom. You got the fish tank, huh?
Yeah, for free.
Awesome, buddy.
Right on.
I went from Lehigh to Sanibel. Not a bad deal, huh?
Awesome.
That's great.
Awesome.
His name is Felix, so...
Now, let me...
Great job, Felix.
Fish included. Big ones, ain't he?
Right on.
Fish Hopefully they're shiny, too.
Well, I can feel them.
All right. Tell me what category in current events do you want to go to? Do you want topical news, business, or entertainment?
Topical news.
All right.
Tropical news.
Oh, tropical.
No, it's topical. You heard correctly, Tom.
Okay. I got good ears.
Now, I also will ask you, if you want to be a showboat, I'll just ask you the question and you give me the answer. Or, if you'd like, I will give you a crutch on this. I'll make it multiple choice.
Let's try the multiple choice.
Okay, we'll go multiple choice.
Okay.
All right, Tom, here you go.
Okay.
After a... This is just topical news.
Right.
Rather like the first George W. Bush-Al Gore presidential debate was remembered for Gore using the word lockbox...
Lockbox.
...to describe his Social Security policy, Joe the Plumber... A would-be small business owner used by John McCain to illustrate his differences with Barack Obama over taxation is likely to be forever associated with the final debate between McCain and Obama. Which state does Joe the Plumber live?
Wisconsin.
I'm sorry, that's... Incorrect.
Can I get the multiple choice now?
No. I was glad to give you multiple choice.
Right,
you barked it right
up.
Out.
Am I done?
No, you're not done. You got the two other categories that you can try for.
Okay.
Either in business or entertainment.
We'll take entertainment.
All right. Entertainment. You'd like multiple choice, right?
Yes. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
From the entertainment category. Paula Abdul's American Idol salary is somewhere in the neighborhood of $5 to $8 million per season. And she's a little upset about that. According to one news source, she wants her salary to be closer to that of Simon Cowell. How much does Simon Cowell make per season on American Idol?
Sorry, make a repeat. What did she? What is she making?
She makes $5 to $8 million.
She wants $20 million.
You're not letting
let
me.
Let him read the responses.
Let me read the. Give you the multiple choice.
Sorry, go ahead,
boy, your approval rating is plummeting.
I know, I'm a plumber. Go ahead.
Simon Cowell makes what? $12 million. $19 million. $29 million or $36 million per season?
$29 million.
I'm sorry. That's incorrect.
I should have stuck with the 19.
He makes $36 million a season. You got one more shot at it, Tom, and it's in the business category.
All right.
And if you don't get it, we're going to go to the next caller.
I know you are.
He knows the score, Stan.
Okay, all right. This is in the business category.
Okay.
If you are looking for a business with some good news, look at healthcare giant Johnson and Johnson. You know, you've heard of the Johnson and Johnson people, right?
Yeah, all that.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
That reported its third quarter profit jump. Beating Wall Street expectations. How big of a jump in profit did Johnson & Johnson show? A 10% jump? A 20% jump? A 30% jump? Or a 40% jump?
40.
I'm sorry, Tom.
Goodbye, guys. I love you.
All right, love
Thanks,
you, too.
Tom. Enjoy the fish.
Ahoy, who's this?
Good.
Who, Gus?
Scott.
All right, let's play What's Going On, Scott. Which category do you want to start? General news, topics, entertainment, or business?
General news.
All right. Let's see what question I will give you. Okay. And this is a business question, but it falls under the category of general news because it surpasses the business and makes it into general news. After a concerted effort by the world's central banks to cut interest rates and calm the world's economy with huge loans to banks, stock markets across the world rebounded at the beginning of last week, with the Dow Jones Industrials climbing on Monday, October 13th, with a record-shattering one-day gain. How many points did the Dow Jones rise in one day? Was it 636 points, 725 points, 936 points, or 1,114 points?
936.
You are absolutely correct.
Wow.
Nice job.
Yeah. So he wins just
you,
like that.
Just
first
like
question.
That, you win. All right. That bell of yours, Annie. Scott.
You can ring my bell.
You got a $50 ring gift. My bell, okay, that's great.
Ring a ling.
That's great.
Okay, that's enough,
that's
Tom.
Great. That's great.
Oh, come on.
That's just wonderful. Scott, you got a $50 gift certificate just for answering a current event question with Stan's What's Going On.
Great.
I like that.
Yeah.
Good job.
All right. Scotty, hold on the line. I'll have Tommy get with you on how you can pick up your certificate.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Hold on. Yeah. I think that line two.
I enjoyed that one.
All right.
And it was, there were some in there that were just gimmies.
Yep.
There were others that were pretty tough. He won on a tough one.
Yeah. That was a really tough one. And I figured I had to give a multiple choice on that. But yeah, we'll do that again. Just pick your category and see if you know your current events.
And a nice job there by Scott. Now, I've been wanting to get your opinion on something.
Yes.
Have you been paying attention to what's going on in outer space?
I read how bad it smells.
No, we're losing it, man. Tonight, India is launching a moon mission.
What?
It's unmanned, but they're sending some sort of probe. China and Japan getting into the act. We're doing nothing.
I'm going to tell you something, and I read something, and this is amazing.
And Russia, I guess, within either today or yesterday, sometime fairly recently, they announced a recommitment to their space program, making sure that it's funded.
I just read an article, and it was in NASA. You want to know how bad this country is falling behind in space?
I mean, that's our deal.
Our shuttle program is set to end. Now, they set a year for it to end, but it basically is whenever the contracted missions end, that's the end. Our next generation rocket will not be done on time. They're pushing it back because of expenses. Couple of years. There's going to be about a 5-year gap that NASA is saying now, where we will not be able, the United States of America, because we don't have the rocket, to send astronauts to the International Space Station to go, and if we have, you know, because we got to deal with Russia, if we had to go rescue somebody, or
we would be totally reliant on the Russians.
For 5 years, we are going to be totally reliant on the Russians to send our astronauts to the space station, totally reliant on them to get people and supplies up there. We will not be able to do nothing. They will go and shelve the shuttles, and they've already said that the next generation rocket is falling years behind.
Well, you know, you and I both read. I probably read a little more than you, to the point of it being unhealthy.
Yeah. Yes.
But I didn't even know that India had a space program.
I knew that.
Well, lo and behold, they are evidently pretty good at it.
Yes.
Because Israel allowed India to launch a military spy satellite. We're dropping the ball,
India,
man.
India has a space program, and if you know with our shuttle program, and we've sent up along on the shuttle an Israeli astronaut, an Indian astronaut, and all in an effort for them to get their own programs, because we were led to believe getting all these other countries involved would help us financially to get built the space station, which in turn would allow us to go back to the moon, to Mars. But they're all jumping so far ahead of us because we don't have the money to do it.
And, you know, India, they're focusing on the unmanned portion of it. But China actually intends to put a Chinaman on the moon before we can ever think about it.
They just had him in space a couple of months ago. China sent astronauts up there.
And that was extremely historic, because prior to that, United States and Russia, we had it all to ourselves. And it's really opening up.
I'll tell you, Shep, Coop, Gus, they're all rolling in their graves.
And heroes all.
Yep.
And the implications of that are huge. You know, and there are many, many implications, but we rely heavily on our satellites for so many things, but especially the military advantage that our dominance in space gives us is going away.
The fact of the matter is, that's great. If China wants to get involved, India wants to get involved, the Russians have always been involved, Israel wants to get... The fact that we will not have
we
a
will
vehicle.
Be at the mercy of Russia.
Yep.
Which is unacceptable.
And with all the problems that we're starting to have with them now. And we are at the mercy for them to get our astronauts back and to put our astronauts up there.
I'm sure it has been said at many a local watering hole, many a water cooler, but Jesus, people, we used to build in this country.
Yep.
We used to make things happen.
What's the matter, Sam? Why all the gloom?
Oh, I just got a load of bad news. Things haven't been going so good lately. Rotten programs and very bad announcements. The big boss was here, and he gave me a month to put this station on paying basis, or we're through.
Your worries are over. You're looking at the best radio announcer that ever pushed a verb through a microphone.
Stan and Haney, 96 K-Rock. With Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Hi, this is Peter Arnett, and here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Good afternoon. This is the news. Telling it like it is, I'm Mark Haney. Nick Hogan walked out of prison early yesterday morning, about 12:30 a.m., and went straight to a celebration in his honor at his sister's house.
Oh, brother.
Apparently, the police ended up being involved in the celebration. But it's not clear why. TMZ caught up with Nick's cougarific mama, Linda Hogan, outside their home later in the day and asked her about it. Their understanding was that police were called because the music was too loud, but Linda, wearing a sexy outfit,
I bet,
said the police showed up because there was a lot of media hanging around.
Sure.
Woo. Then, when the reporter asked her if she thought it was appropriate for Nick to be having a party when his friend John Graziano remains in a vegetative state, Linda clarified for us that this was not a party. It was a homecoming.
Right, with loud music. Cops.
She also said that Nick's focus from here on out is to, quote, make a positive difference in this world, media-free. There is a video on the internet of the actual moment that Nick walked out of the whatever facility he was incarcerated at.
Right, yeah.
His sister, Brooke, comes running up to give him a big hug, and she's mistaken by the paparazzi for Linda. And they start yelling at her, how does Mama feel? Linda, Linda, over here.
How does Mama feel?
Yeah. Yeah, she didn't like that. Yeah.
Meanwhile, Mama comes out to talk to reporters dressed in something sexy.
Yeah. Indeed. Britain's Sun tabloid says that Michael Jackson has moved into a Las Vegas mansion.
Oh, Las Vegas. Where's Wonderland?
Neverland?
Or Neverland, whatever the F it is.
Well, you're a grown-up. You're not meant to get it.
I don't know.
He's moved into a Las Vegas mansion directly across the street from an elementary school.
Oh, jeez.
The home belongs to Steve Wynn.
Friend.
He owns several hotels and casinos, including the Wynn.
Yeah.
And Bellagio. He's providing Michael with these luxurious accommodations because he's trying to convince him to do a show at one of his properties.
Right. So he's providing him with lodging.
It's the Vegas way.
Yep.
Meanwhile, the school that sits across the street from Michael's new digs caters to 600 students ranging in age from 4 through 13. Some parents have already complained for obvious reasons, but there's nothing they can do except take their kids out of school because Michael Jackson has never been convicted of anything. And there is nothing that can keep him away from the school if that's where he chooses to live.
Let's remember that, people. He's been convicted of nothing.
It would be interesting to know how the people on the jury that acquitted him would feel if he moved into a home across the street from their children's school.
Got that.
Our prayers and best wishes go out to the great Dolores Hope.
Yep.
The widow of Bob Hope, TMZ, says that she fell ill. Those are words that are used for the elderly.
Yeah, fell ill.
She fell ill at her home in California's San Fernando Valley yesterday afternoon, taken to the hospital via ambulance. Dolores, who's a sprightly 99 years old, was married to Bob Hope for 69 years until his death in 2003. Word is she may have suffered a stroke.
Dolores Hope was on this show, and the thing is, up until Bob Hope's death, I think like a year before, he was still doing the Christmas specials. The last one he did,
right here.
Last one he did was really clipped together with a lot of best ofs. But Haney and I wanted to get Bob Hope on the air just to say hi to him, and we got as far. I think that was Jokey setting that up. Sweet talking.
No one could have done it but him.
And we got as close as the home phone number and Dolores.
Yeah, we had Bob Hope's phone number.
Yeah, Dolores Hope answered the hello.
Hello.
And I remember through the interview, we were begging her, is Bob there?
Yes, he just had a sandwich.
Mm. Will you just put him on the phone so we can just say hi to him?
He can't come to the phone. I have a new album out where I sing.
Oh. It's the story of their marriage. Yeah. He was brutal to her, through the years. And when his health finally started to go and she took over, well, that singing career she always wanted, she made it happen.
She made it happen. CD out, and he's stuck in a room. Now she's 99, and what did she do? What happened to her?
She fell ill.
Fell ill.
Our next stories involve technology. Technology in and of itself, neither good nor evil.
Right.
You can judge for yourself whether these applications fall into either category. Have you recently been diagnosed with a sexually transmitted disease?
No.
If so, do the responsible thing and tell everyone who showed poor enough judgment to sleep with you that they may have problems as well. If you find yourself in this delicate situation, lucky for you, there's a website called inspot.org that allows you to send what they call an anonymous e-card that will let people know they need to get checked. One of them reads, quote, I got screwed while screwing. You might have too. Another reads, it's not what you brought to the party, it's what you left with. I left with an STD. You might have too. Get checked.
Jeez. Well, there's never an easy way to go and tell somebody. You know, this is the easiest.
Hi, I'm Bill O'Reilly from the Fox News Channel with today's good news. Here's Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, my colleague, Mark Haney.
Bill, time to hand out some hardware, our daily awards. It was a tight race, but in the end, we felt we had no choice but to name 35-year-old Jose Diaz of Lorain, Ohio.
Where's that?
West of Cleveland.
Thank you.
As our idiot criminal of the day. Last Thursday, Jose went to his local Walmart to do some shopping. But instead of paying for his purchases, Jose decided to save a little money by treating himself to what's known as a five-finger discount. Jose stuffed an expensive digital camera under his clothes and headed for the exit. When a security guard tried to stop him, Jose took off running and slammed into a sliding glass door.
Oh, I've seen it happen.
Yes, you have. Jose managed to escape the security guard by kicking at him. But after Jose left the store, he started running again and ran directly into a cement post in the parking lot.
Jeez!
Well, it was easy at this point. The security guard just grabbed Jose and called the police. He was arrested for robbery and theft. His court date has been set for next Monday. He's got a mugshot, and he's all effed up.
Let me see that.
Because of running into things. Time now to hand out our Mother of the Day award.
Boy.
Today's award goes to 43-year-old Terry Holt of England. Terry has a 13-year-old daughter named Sam, and she's what you might call permissive or a fun mom. According to Terry, I don't see the point in punishing my daughter. If I ground her, I'm just punishing myself because I have to put up with her being at home. Instead, I choose to reward her good behavior by giving her cigarettes. If she's a bad girl, she goes without. There are a lot worse things she could be doing than smoking. We've all got to die sometime. I haven't gotten cancer from smoking, so she'll probably be all right. You'd think that would be enough.
You'd think.
We haven't even gotten started. Terry says she's fully aware that her daughter enjoys alcoholic beverages, but it doesn't worry her because, quote, Sam only drinks a couple of cans of beer per night. She's 13. And Sam's been known to enjoy the occasional joint every now and then. But that's okay with Terry because I don't think she's tried anything harder than that.
Right, so it's okay.
And you'd think that would be enough. It's not. Terry would like us to know that Sam lost her virginity when she was 12.
Jeez.
Since then, she's had relations with four other boys, but Terry wasn't concerned because, quote, it wasn't a one-night stand. She'd been dating the guy for several weeks.
Ah!
Congratulations,
there's mother
Terry.
And daughter
sharing a smoke. It looks like just a child.
She's 13. Just a child.
I know, but just when you see it compared, there's mom.
Yeah,
you
all
know,
haggard looking,
holding an L&M, and there's sister or daughter with a Parliament, and she just looks like she's where's the lunchbox? Jeez,
now with that nasty bit of business out of the way, gentlemen. I made sure I left plenty of time because we've finally done it. We've stolen the playbook.
Ooh.
Yeah.
This goes back to 1894, and these are the real rules that women live by in marriage.
Ooh. Hit it now?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't.
That's
Hello, I'm Bill Curtis of
Investigative
Reports.
Well, you already started the story.
For our final story,
no, I didn't.
Here is Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman, Mark Haney.
Bill. No,
was setting
I was,
it up.
I was warning, warning people.
That was the preamble.
And you ladies are not going to be happy because now we know exactly what you're up to. In 1894, a woman named Ruth Smithers wrote a book that we men were never meant to see, entitled Sex Tips for Husbands and Wives. The book is supposed to help young women who are about to face, quote, the terrible experience of sex for the first time. We will now give you the opposition playbook. Ruth's advice to the young women about to face the terrible experience of sex for the first time. Number one, the wise bride will permit a maximum of two brief sexual experiences weekly, and as time goes by, she should make every effort to reduce this frequency. Feigned illness, sleepiness, and headaches are among her best friends in the matter. Just as she should be ever alert to keep the quantity of sex as low as possible, the wise bride will pay equal attention to limiting the kind and degree of sexual contacts. The author explains, quote, "Men are by nature rather perverted, and if given half a chance, would engage in quite a variety of the most revolting practices, including mouthing the female body and offering their own vile bodies to be mouthed in turn. Do not encourage him. Nudity, talking about sex, reading stories about sex, viewing photographs and drawings depicting or suggesting sex are the obnoxious habits the male is likely to acquire if permitted."
I don't know if they had invented movies yet.
"A wise wife will make it her goal never to allow her husband to see her unclothed body, and never allow him to display his unclothed body to her." All right, she's got a point there. "Women have found it useful to have thick cotton nightgowns for themselves, which need not be removed during the sex act. Thus, the minimum of flesh is exposed. Once in bed, the wife should turn off all the lights and make no sound to guide her husband, lest he take this as a sign of encouragement. A woman should lie as still as possible. Bodily motion could be interpreted as sexual excitement by the optimistic husband. Sex, when it cannot be prevented, should be practiced only in total darkness. Wise wives are ever on the alert for new and better methods of denying the amorous overtures of the husband. Arguments, nagging, scolding, and bickering prove very effective, especially when used late in the evening. Men obtain a major portion of their sexual satisfaction from the peaceful exhaustion immediately after the act is over. The wife must ensure that there is no peace in this period for him to enjoy. Otherwise, he might be encouraged to try soon for more. By their 10th anniversary, many wives have managed to complete their childbearing and have achieved the ultimate goal of terminating all sexual contact with the husband. And finally, she sums it all up in one sentence. One cardinal rule of marriage should never be forgotten. Give little, give seldom, and above all, give grudgingly.
You ladies.
Now we know. And that's the news. I am Southwest Florida's most respected anchorman. Telling it like it is, I'm Poon Pounder.
Thank you, Poon.
Hey, before we do this, you have to promise me that you can be showered and out of here by 6. Stan and Haney. 96 K-Rock.
On the phone with us right now, he's a UFOologist. out of Pennsylvania. Robert Gorman's on the phone. Good afternoon, Robert.
Nice to meet you guys.
It's a pleasure to be speaking with you. Explain to me what a UFOologist is, first of all, for our listeners, especially west of the Rockies.
I investigate the claims that people encounter things that cannot be explained.
I see.
I am not a believer.
You are not a believer. Let's stress this. You are not a believer in UFOs.
No.
You don't believe that there is anything else out there.
I don't believe it's been proven.
Now, you claim, though, however, we can hear interesting sounds, unexplained sounds. By the way, west of the Rockies, 775-9600. Unexplained sounds on our AM radio. Is that true?
Well, since they've been investigating UFOs, whether you think they're swamp gas or ball lightning. Or earth lights or extraterrestrial ships, no matter what belief system you have, one of the things that has carried through each and every major sighting report that could not be explained away is that there was an electromagnetic or magnetic energy involved.
Uh-huh.
And it would cause a lot of different things, everything from localized power failures to radio and TV interference to stalling automobiles and so forth. And what I have done is this electrical noise can be detected if you look between the channels.
Or you go above 1,600 kilohertz on your AM dial. By the way, west of the Rockies, 775-9600.
Well, you can actually go almost anywhere. I have had more luck with the higher end of the AM dial.
Uh-huh. All over the nation on the GTE mobile net 96 starts. And go ahead, Robert.
And basically, this is just another way that if you see something that you cannot explain, and it's relatively close, if it is giving off any kind of electromagnetic noise, your AM radio will act as an amplifier.
Uh-huh.
I'm not saying that they're trying to contact you via your AM radio.
Uh-huh.
It's simply that this would be that you would be listening to the electrical noise given off by whatever it is.
Go ahead.
You have electrical noise given off by a funnel cloud on a tornado.
What?
Or fluorescent or neon lighting, or there's a number of things that give off noise that aren't from outer space.
So are you a full-time UFOlogist?
No, actually, I dropped out of this field back in 1982 because there was too much BS.
Right, you become disillusioned by it, didn't you?
Yes, because what I found out was that as I started looking at some of the bigger cases...
Yeah, your Roswell stuff.
There was negative evidence that the believers didn't want you to hear about.
What about that one? I'm sure you know about it. I can't recall the exact circumstances, but it was one of the first big ones where the farm family went completely nuts and started shooting at aliens.
You're familiar with that, aren't you, Robert?
The Sutton case back in the 50s out in Kentucky, they were hitting with everything from 22s to small-gauge shotguns. Yeah, that was the Sutton family.
And was there any documentation as proof into the Sutton family going nutso?
Well, there was a lot of holes blasted through the walls and the floors.
A lot of shells.
The interesting thing, too, is that now so-called paranormal investigators are looking into cases of poltergeists and so-called hauntings.
Right, which is a bunch of crap.
They're noticing at the time when you have bright lights show up on the film and so forth, or so-called mysterious lights, that they're having a burst of electromagnetic radiation show up on their meters.
Right. Let's go to the phones right now, Robert. We're gonna go to Lincoln, Nebraska. Hello, K-Rock, you're on the air.
I'm on the air.
Yes, you are.
Oh, my God.
Do you have a question for Robert Gorman, a UFOologist who says you can hear possibility of UFO transmissions on AM radio?
Oh, my God. I just called out to find about your breast implant.
Go ahead, Stan. How about it? How about your breast implants? What can you tell us?
I'm very comfortable with them right now.
Look good.
And I look good, and I feel good.
Very natural looking.
Thank you very much. Minneapolis, Minnesota, K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
I'm confused. If he doesn't believe, what's the purpose of his research?
Good question. Thank you, Minneapolis. So what is the question of your research if you don't believe? Robert Gorman, UFOologist?
I think the world's full of believers. I think we need fewer believers and more people willing to just look at the evidence.
I see. I think we need more good people like the Suttons who know the value of a good weapon.
Also,
and you know, we alluded to it earlier, and you said
this was Florida, right? This wasn't Michigan, right?
No, we're in Florida.
Okay.
We're nationwide, by the way. You can reach us, GT MobileNet 96 stars send.
We alluded to it earlier, and you said that you had actually given up being a full-time UFOlogist in 1982.
Yes.
So what is your profession now?
I'm in sales.
You're in sales?
I sell things, yes.
What do you sell?
People buy them. I sell almost everything, and I also am a full-time photographer.
And have you photographed UFOs?
No.
Well, what are you selling, though?
I sell everything. Oh. Usually
shoe polish.
High-end electronic gadgets.
Electronic gadgets.
Really, what's hot now? What's
DVD
moving for
players.
You? CD players?
DVD players.
DVD.
Yes,
what do you sell them right out of the trunk of your car?
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you this. If you're selling DVD players, how do you see the impact of PlayStation 2 on the DVD market?
It's not going to touch it.
Not going to touch it at all.
And why not? Since the new Sony PlayStation 2 was supposed to incorporate where you can play DVD movies on your PlayStation 2.
Americans are very slow to jump onto anything anymore.
I see. Phoenix, Arizona. K-Rock, hello, you're on the air.
I'm on the air again.
Will you stop calling about my breast implants? Will you stop calling about my breast implants? What is your problem, lady?
I'm not calling about
you.
You
settled your ass down.
You've made no secret of it, Stan.
That's right. I've made no secret.
Hey, Stan, don't be a dickhead.
I'm a perfect C cup now.
Do not
back off, sweetheart. Back off, bitch. Sorry about that, Robert.
Your ex-wife calling old girlfriends.
Sorry about that. You know what? They come from everywhere. You are also looking for people that if they claim they have something on a cassette or something of mysterious sounds from the radio, that they get in touch with you.
Oh, sure.
I mean, you want evidence.
And will you send them a coupon for $10 off a DVD purchase?
Hey, can you get a Haney and I a deal right now on a DVD?
Yeah, I possibly could.
What are we looking at? Well, I want something that does it all, baby. Play the CDs, DVD movies, the whole thing, and I don't want to pay over like $150.
Well, I'm also a full-time photographer. Maybe I can set you up for a glamour session.
I'll pass on that. Do you shoot nudes?
Yes, I do.
Because, you know, Stan just got breast implants.
I just got breast implants, and I feel very comfortable with them.
I heard that three times, yes, and I'm glad you're comfortable with them.
Tell us about curly in photography. Is that what you were alluding to earlier with the...
What?
Curly in photography, Stan. He was alluding to bright lights in the pictures. Any similarity between that and what you were alluding to earlier?
Well, you know, the paranormal investigators feel that's basically what you're looking at, some sort of aura or psi
right.
energy.
You know it's just light exposure to film. Somebody opened up the back of the camera.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it is.
Any differences between digital cameras and cameras that use film?
Well, there's some major differences. See, the basic thing.
No,
right
I mean
now,
as far as what they're capturing. If you were to shoot it with a camera that uses film and a digital camera, would some of those things show up on both?
Or? I haven't talked to any paranormal investigators right now that have been using digital cameras.
They probably can't afford them.
Yeah.
On investigations. Oh, the prices are coming down every day.
I know.
And you sell it right out of
the trunk of the car. Robert, thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Mike.
All right, bye-bye. Stan and Haney in the afternoon. Glad to have you along. It's a Tuesday.
Look.
Oh, boy.
So everything all traffic cleared? And
let's find out.
Now, K-Rock Traffic. Here's Tommy Trafficante.
Hi, Tommy.
Hi, Larry. Hello, everyone. Crash involving a car and...
All right, Tommy, thanks. You've been telling me for 2 days now that I have to watch this Mark Wahlberg thing.
Saturday Night Live did something that I thought was very funny because it came out of nowhere. And it's pretty simple. I wanted to share it with you.
Right.
And I figured as long as I'm sharing it with you, why not share it with the audience as well?
And now Mark Wahlberg talks to animals.
Hey, I'm Mark Wahlberg. You guys know me. Let's go talk to some animals. Hey, dog, how's it going? I like your fur. That looks really great. So you're a dog, right? What's that all about? Okay, well, it was great to meet you. Say hi to your mother for me, okay? Now I'm gonna talk to a donkey. Hey, donkey, what's going on? You're a donkey. I like that. You eat apples, right? I produce entourage. Okay. Talk to you later, donkey. Now I'm gonna talk to a chicken. Hey, chicken, how's it hanging? A lot of people want to eat you, but I just want to talk to you, okay? We should do a film together. What do you think? Chicken, I'm not joking around, okay? Yeah. This is the real thing. I mean, this could be huge. All right, well, think about it. Say hi to your mother for me, all right? Now I'm going to talk to a goat. Hey, goat. It's good to see you. I like your beard. I had a beard like that in The Perfect Storm. Did you see that movie? Did you see The Perfect Storm, goat? Say hi to your mother for me, okay?
This has been Mark Wahlberg Talks to Animals.
Okay.
This Stan seemed underwhelmed.
So that was 2 weeks ago. Then last week, Mark Wahlberg shows up to confront Andy Samberg.
Ha! Hey, Andy. Oh, Mark Wahlberg. Hi. How are you?
Oh, not so good, Andy. I mean, I saw the last show.
You did?
Yes, I did. And I got to tell you, I'm very upset about this imitation you did with the animals. I mean, what is that?
Yeah, it was just a stupid thing we did. It was stupid.
Well, I got to be honest with you, buddy. I've been thinking about breaking that big, beautiful nose of yours.
Sure. Sure, it's big and beautiful. Yeah.
Well, you know what? I decided not to, being the church-going guy that I am. But, I mean, it's nothing like me. What was that?
I agree with you. And the thing that I'd like to say...
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, Amy Poehler. How's it going?
Pretty good.
You're pregnant. What's that all about, huh?
I don't know.
Well, it's nice to see you. Say hi to your mother for me.
Nothing like it.
Nothing like it.
So, Andy, where were we?
You were saying my impression was way off?
Yeah, I mean, look, I don't get it. It was very inaccurate, you know?
Again, yep. Hey, Mark.
Hey, Josh Brolin. How you doing?
I'm good, I'm good.
You were in the Goonies movie, right? I produce Entourage. Yeah, hey, how do your mother for me, okay?
Okay.
And your stepmother.
Look, Mark, I didn't mean any offense, man. You know, I'm a fan of your movies.
Oh,
and
hold on a second. Hey. Hey, donkey.
What's up, Mark?
It's a real donkey.
How's it going? You live in a barn, right? I'm in Max Payne. Have you seen that movie? Okay, donkey. Say hi to your mother for me. So, look, Andy, I'm glad we had this talk. I feel better now.
Good. You know, me too. Say hi to your mother for me.
You know what? I'm not going to go there. Give me a hug. Come on, we're going to hug it out, bitch.
God bless you.
Never again, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Right. Sound nothing like it.
Yeah.
Nothing like it.
Completely different.
That, I'll say, spot on.
Yep.
That was like...
And you don't notice it because no one's ever done Mark Wahlberg. So it's like, does it sound like him? But
hey, donkey. I produce Entourage.
It was spot on, but you know what? When I hear that stuff and you're just hearing it,
right, and you're not
and
seeing it,
and then you're saying it's Mark Wahlberg and spot on Mark Wahlberg. This guy's a big, huge star actor,
mm-hmm.
and this is what he does.
Mm-hmm.
Hey,
talks to animals.
How's it hanging? Hey,
hey, some, you know me.
Say hello to your mother.
Hey, some people want to eat you. I just want to talk. Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that's him.
We should do a film together.
This guy gets $20 million a role. Right. To go and do that.
He gets a little lilt at the end
and
of every
session. And was he also in the Funk Bunch? Wasn't he in
that?
Yeah,
that was it.
Marky Mark and the Funky Bunch. And Boogie Nights.
Yeah. You know, go ahead, sing in a band, pants hanging down low.
What do you guys? What do you got against Mark Wahlberg?
And then you're going to make $30 million.
Let him take it out on Mark Wahlberg and not us.
What the hell's your beef with Wahlberg?
Come on. Big time star.
He is.
I know he is.
And he's been so successful. And he's got the number one movie in the country right now with Max Payne.
Right. You know what? W. Fourth.
He is. Well, that's good for them, though.
Yeah.
He is 37 years old. And prior
to making Max Payne, he's been doing some serious thinking. He's thinking about marrying the woman who, I don't know how many kids she's given him. She just gave him another one.
Right.
And he thought seriously about retiring. He's got all the money that he'll ever need.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Then the movie comes out. It's number one. He goes, you know what? Maybe another 5 years I'll do this. Must be a nice position to be in.
Nice.
Then you can walk around all well-adjusted, talking to animals, asking about their mothers.
Mm-hmm. How's it hanging, chicken? Hey there, donkey. I produce Entourage. Big star. Where are the Gables? The Spencer Tracy's?
Gables?
Clark Gable.
Gables? He didn't talk to any Gable.
Hey, you're a Gable.
Clark Gable.
How's it hanging,
hey,
Gable?
Clark Gable.
Nothing wrong with that bowl.
We are going to be back here tomorrow, Lord willing, at 2 o'clock. We're the Stan and Haney
That's
show.
That's the plan at this juncture.
Yes.
If my bike starts.
96K Rock. We're going to leave you with something special here. This was, boy, didn't it help the campaign? Didn't it? We're having Sarah Palin on Saturday Night
Live. She's an attractive woman.
Very attractive woman.
And it confirmed that when I saw her. Yeah. She's attractive.
And
not the snappiest dresser,
no,
though.
No, this was the big rap thing that went on Saturday Night Live. We'll see you tomorrow.
And now, here to clear up some misconceptions about her campaign, Republican vice presidential nominee Sarah Palin.
Thank you, Seth. Thanks, Amy, and thanks for the chance to come out here tonight. But I've been thinking it over, and I'm not going to do the piece that we rehearsed.
Yeah, but you're so good at it.
Oh, I know. It was really fun, too, but my gut is telling me it might be a bad idea for the campaign.
Are you sure?
Yeah, after a lot of thought, I think it might just cross the line.
Okay, well, in that case, Amy, do you want to do Governor Palin's part instead?
I guess I could give it a try. I mean,
do you want to remember it?
I kind of remember it, yeah.
Okay, why don't you try it?
1, 2, 3!
My name is Sarah Palin, you all know me. Vice President nominee of the GOP. Gonna need your vote in the next election. Can I get a what from the senior section? McCain got experience, McCain got style. But don't let him freak you out when he tries to smile, cause that smile be creepy. But when I'm VP, all the leaders in the world gonna finally meet me. How's it go, Eskimos?
Eskimos!
Tell me what you know, Eskimos!
Eskimos!
How you feel, Eskimos?
Eskimos!
Tell me what you feel, Eskimos!
Super cool!
Am I alright? Cause tonight I'm the preacher. I got a bookish look and you're all hot for teacher. Time looking fine on a snow machine. So hot for each other, need a go-between. In Mozilla, we just chill, baby chiller. But when I see oil, that's
drill, baby chiller!
Russia and such. All the Mavericks in the house, put your hands up. All the Mavericks in the house, put your hands up. All the plumbers in the house, put your hands up. All the plumbers in the house, put your hands up.
When I say Obama, you say heirs. Obama.
Heirs.
Obama.
Heirs.
I built me a bridge, it ain't going nowhere.
Oh.
McCain, Palin, gonna put the nail in the coffin of the media.
She likes red meat.
Shoot a mother humping moose 8 days of the week. Now you're dead. Now you're dead because I'm an animal. And I'm bigger than you. Holding a shotgun, rocking the pump. Everybody party, we're going up a lot. La 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 la. Go up here and I'm out.
Yeah.
Do we get up there? I'm Seth Meyers.
I'm Sarah Palin. Good night and have a pleasant tomorrow.
Good night.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.